And our special guest tonight, Jonathan Goldman, energy healing. His book is called The Gift of the Body. And his website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Jonathan Goldman with us. George Norrie here. Jonathan, can you imagine how this would work with medical practitioners who would practice what you have been doing all these years?
I can, because look, what I do augments everything else. It doesn't replace it, and it give you an example. Many people come to me, for instance, who have back pain, and they've been to every kind of practitioner. They've been to chiropractors, they've been to massage therapists, they've taken drugs, they've gone to pain clinics, like that. I do the work I do, the students I've trained do it, and then they go back to the people that didn't help them before, and this time it helps.
Dramatically, too, doesn't it?
Dramatically, because what we're doing is we're freeing up the other levels, the other layers of the energy vehicle, of the energy bodies. Most illness originates in the layer that's called the mental body. Most illness originates with beliefs. Negative beliefs about yourself, negative beliefs about life, negative beliefs about what love is, all this kind of thing. And so what we do is literally go to the place in the auric field, in the vehicle, which is somewhere in front or in back of what we think of as our bodies, and free up the blockages that are holding back all the other layers, so that the pain in the person's back, for instance, person has pain in their middle back, right? Very often this comes from exhaustion, comes from overwork.
Yep.
Comes from
stress.
As they say in England, they say spending your penny. You've just exhausted your willpower. And it comes with a thought, I have to do it myself. I have to do it myself. Nobody can help me. So then I don't receive help, and so I end up with back pain. So there's a specific place that's about a foot and a half behind the middle of your back that thought, I have to do it myself, nobody can help me, lives. So by using hands on that place, you don't even need to touch a person's body. The particular way we do it, you free up that density, that constriction that's being held at that place, and then it frees everything up. And so, still there can be muscle problems, there can be still some necessity of massage and chiropractic or whatever, but they're not carrying a boulder on their back anymore. That's just one example.
That's fantastic. How do you help people who have anxiety? Because right now people are at an all-time high.
For sure. And it's like anxiety, depression, right?
Yep.
So I'll give you another example of a recent client. A woman came to me and she said she was suicidal. Had an underlying depression her whole life, and it now was so strong that she had those symptoms. She couldn't get out of bed. She wanted to get out of bed. She didn't have any appetite. And she was suicidal. She wasn't actively suicidal, but, you know, what they call suicidal ideation. She was thinking about it.
Yeah, well, just by the mere fact they think about it, it's bad.
Bad, right. So we talked for a while, and again, referring to the earlier very good question, I was in the space of compassion. I was like, I would love to help this person, but I'm going to do what I can. Here's what I know. On an energy level, on the arrangement of our energy field, energy bodies, energy system, what's called the second chakra, which is the belly. Some people call it the hara, right? The area below your belly button in the front, and on your sacrum in the back. It's called the second chakra, the pelvic chakra. That is the place in the human body where life force is strongest, right? Life force comes to us from the earth, the kind of life force comes into our body, comes to that place, and it becomes human life force. So depression is the squeezing of that on an energy level, I'm not talking psychologically, looking energetically. That area of the body gets repressed, gets held in, gets stuck. So I knew that, and so the focus of the treatment I did on her, or the healing session, was to free that. So first session, she came back to the first session, she said she wasn't suicidal anymore. That was a victory, right? So we don't have to worry about her anymore.
Right.
After the second session, she said, you know, I had one day where I actually felt like myself, which is a very common thing that people who have anxiety and depression say when they're feeling better, right? Because they don't feel like themselves. Something else is going on. After the third session, she said her appetite had come back. She really was doing okay. And we're going to do a couple more to finish up. So what she had done from her childhood was she had taken the energy of that part of her body and basically stuck it like a bustle behind her butt, behind her sacrum. There was a pocket of energy about a foot and a half behind her physical body that was packed. It was like, that's all I can say. It was like a dense place. When I put my hand there, I could feel it. Took a while. I had to be patient. I had to keep reminding her, are you ready? You know, do you want this? Yes, I do, for sure, for sure, for sure, for sure. And then that started to open, like taking a zipper and opening it slowly and releasing this energy that then came into her body, and she starts feeling like herself again.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's remarkable, and it's actually quite simple, is the truth.
Let's take some calls for you. You ready?
Go ahead.
Let's go to Brian in Vacaville, California, to get us started. Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how you doing, sir? Thanks
okay.
for taking the call.
Sure thing.
Yeah, I just have a couple questions about the acupuncture part of your therapies.
Sure.
What type of material are the needles that you use? Are they ferrous, non-ferrous, or are they some sort of composite material? And are the acupuncture needles attuned to a specific frequency?
Good questions. Here's the thing. You have traditional needles, and then you have the needles that are used mostly now. When I first started, we used to autoclave them, right? We didn't have pre-sterilized. And so traditionally, they're made out of a lot of different things. There are needles made out of gold. There are needles made out of silver.
And they're very thin, too, aren't they?
Very, very thin. No, very thin. They don't hurt at all when you put them in. Nowadays, they're made of a composite, but they're mostly made out of stainless steel because they they're single use. And so their vibration is actually neutral. So it has to do with what you then use them for, with the intention and the particular arrangement you use them that stimulates the body in a particular way. So for instance, the gold ones used to be used to stimulate, right, to increase energy. And the silver ones would be used for the opposite. I still have some, but I don't use them anymore because I don't have an autoclave. So just to repeat, the composite is neutral. They're pre-sterilized, and you can use them on one person, and then you throw them away.
Are the needles different for different parts of the body, or are they all the same?
There'll be different sizes, different lengths. Like, you know, the story I told about the person I treated in the jungle.
Yeah.
That needle was probably 2 inches long.
Okay.
That's a long one. Usually they're an inch.
And they all have to, and it's, they all go in, right, all the way?
No. Different depths. You don't have to put them in very deeply.
Okay, and how do you put them in? Will you hammer them, or you just stick them in?
No. Just, you know, use your fingers. You know, it's like anything else. You get good at it. You know, first time I put it in.
And nobody flinches?
Oh, sometimes people flinch a little bit. The first person I ever put it in, I was in a class, the poor woman, and she was the wife of one of the teachers, and she volunteered to let me stick a needle in her, and it turned out she was needle phobic.
Oh, geez.
Like sweating, and I did a terrible job, I have to say. So I asked her to forgive me afterwards. But no, you get good at it. You know, you use it to flick your fingers.
Needles come in certain sizes, like 15, 18, 19.
Yeah.
What are yours generally?
That's the width. I use that. There, that in that designation there.
The higher the number, the skinnier the needle.
Yeah, the ones I use are 36.
Okay, that's really thin. Paul in Chicago, welcome to the program. Hi, Paul.
How do you do? It's a pleasure to talk to you. George, I'm an old listener, Art Bell.
Hey, you go way back.
Way back.
Yes, you do. Thank you.
I might have a question if time permits, but I wondered if Dr. Johnson might be able to help me. I'm a blinded veteran, and for the most part, been in very, very good health aside from the blindness. And about 2 or 3 months ago, we got an infestation of bed bugs in this building.
Ew.
And I think I got bitten pretty bad, and I had an infection. And the doctors took care of the infection and the wound and everything, but nevertheless, I still have a lot of residual medical challenges. And I wondered if the good Dr. Johnson might be able to reach out, I guess we could say electronically. Maybe he can help me.
All right, let's ask him. He's not a doctor, but go ahead, John.
Where's the wound?
More. It's just that my whole physiognomy, my whole system is just in turmoil. I'm just in terrible malaise, let's put it that way. And then I have some residual pain.
How many bed bug bites did you get, Paul?
I don't know because I'm totally blind.
But you could itch all over the place, I bet, right?
Yeah, and the skin in the right leg and left leg, is the skin just peels just like in strips, just like a snake shedding his skin, and that's swollen. And the right leg seems to be all right, but the left leg is still swollen, and the skin is still peeling. But the wound specialist at the Veterans Hospital were able to fix that wound, and it's healed. But that's as much as I can tell
you. Did you ever work on bugs like that, Jonathan?
No, I'm not working on the bug. Here's what I see. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. Okay, tell me your name again.
It's Paul. Paul.
Do you feel like a generalized, like you feel agitated? You feel like stirred up all the time?
Well, at this point in time, yes, because of this terrible thing. I might say parenthetically that our building was even on television because a lady and her three kids had to sleep in their car until the exterminators could do something about this infestation. It's an infestation of some kind of foreign bed bug. It's not the old conventional, what we used to call chinch. It's some other kind of bed bug. I think it's an invasive species because we have a lot of foreign immigrants in our building now.
You're feeling that. You feel like a burning and like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially
okay. So here's what we're
going to
do.
Especially at night.
I don't have any particular. You're getting a treatment from the experts about this, but here's what I'm going to try to do this. Okay, we're going to do this together. We're going to calm down your system. We're going to take away some of the fire, because basically that's what's going on now. Is that one of you got so agitated, your whole system is in chaos, and you're on fire. And so we're going to cool it down, okay?
Let's do it.
What the heck? What the heck? I can't promise anything, but I can just promise you're not going to get any worse. But we might as well, right? And you know, as George said, I'm not diagnosing anything. I'm not a doctor. But I think we can help you a little bit. So here's what I want you to do is you have to get as calm as you can. Put yourself in a calm position, sitting or however you want to be. And I'm just going to do what I do, and we'll see. Okay?
All right, just do that. Can you do that at any time, or do you have to do that right now, John?
Oh, I can do it any time, but I can do it in 30 seconds right now.
All right, do it in 30 seconds, and then we'll go to the next caller.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, Paul, I'm just going to do what I can do, okay? You got to have faith. You got to be like, okay, whatever this is, it's time to let it go. Whatever this agitation is, you know, you got to forgive the bed bugs. They were just being bed bugs. You know, they weren't trying to do you any harm.
They do what they do, and they bite.
they do what bed bugs do. I've done things I need forgiveness for, too. Okay, here we go.
All right, and I guess you're doing it as we...
I'm doing it right now. It's going to take a few seconds. I know we don't have much time, but I feel bad for the guy.
Right. I understand.
There we go.
And you're sending him energy, I take it?
I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm actually sending him the energy of the moon.
The energy of the moon.
The moon is cold. The sun is hot. When something's hot, you make it cool.
That's an interesting possibility. And people can do that on their own, too, can't they?
For sure. So, look, Paul, you can do that, particularly if it's a full moon, when it's a nice moon out, right? Connect yourself in your vision to that moon and ask that moon, call the energy of that moon to come and cool you off.
In addition to his medical treatment.
Don't stop your medical treatment. That's covering that base, but you're treating the other part.
Good luck, Paul.
There you go.
There's nothing like a bed bug infestation. That's horrible. I've heard about hotel rooms that had to shut down because of these things.
For sure.
Incredible. Since you've been doing this, how many people do you think you've helped?
I've been doing it for 44 years.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, I've been doing it since 1976.
And you've been doing what, hundreds of people?
Look, the most important thing then is I've taught other people who then help other people.
Well, that's a good point. It just mushrooms, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's no way to tell.
We're going to come back and take final calls with Jonathan Goldman in just a moment. His book, of course, is called The Gift of the Body. His website is linked up for you right now at coasttocoastam.com. Those of you on hold, just keep your place. We'll get to you when we come right back, and I'll tell you also what's in store for the rest of the week. We've got some great programs for you, so stick with us. Much more coming up with Jonathan Goldman and your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we'll be back in a moment with final calls with Jonathan Goldman, so get ready for that. On our next Coast to Coast program, we'll be talking about fascinating things in space and also psychic vampires. So make sure you're part of Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're back with Jonathan Goldman, our final segment here as we take your calls. Jonathan, technology of light, you talk about it in The Gift of the Body. What is that exactly?
Technology of light is creating inside your own self a structure so you can receive light. You do it by meditation, you do it by visualization, okay. Do it by breathing. But literally what we're doing is making our bodies available so that light, which is an actual energetic substance that runs through the whole universe. We call it life force, right? Life force, prana. So you can receive it, call it, and use it for your own health, your own inspiration, your own happiness. So the technology, it's a technology because there are steps to do it. There are steps to learning how to do it inside yourself. But anybody can do it. And again, It doesn't have to do with religion, doesn't have to do with a belief system, doesn't it literally is being able to tune in inside yourself to see, feel, sense the different parts of you that are already there. You said it before, right? We have parts that are dormant.
Yep.
Right? They're sleeping. It's waking them up and organizing them all centered around the heart. And then learning that light is everywhere, but also light can be called on a beam. You can call it to you. It's what I do every day in my meditations. What I'm doing in the healing is setting the space through compassion, through cooperation, through rapport, and then calling light to do the work. And it's real. It's not a metaphor. That's what I say in my book. Light is not a metaphor. It's an actual feelable, knowable vibration. So the technology is, how do you do it?
Have you used some of these techniques even for yourself?
Every day.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Every day.
Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California to get things started here. Hi, Joseph.
Thank you, George.
Sure.
I also do that same, this is special meditation where you can clear your chakras with the light, and it's good for grounding, and it's important to start off your meditations with that, and then from there you go to do others. I would like to ask you, could you explain entrainment and quantum entanglement with the Awasa, because that's a conscious, that's a healing consciousness, that herb. And a little bit of it connects you to that consciousness, that's entanglement and the entrainment when you do your vocalization, your toning, or your frequencies. The other person adjusts to that frequency, and you can actually uplift the person, clear them with the right frequencies. Compassion is another type of frequency adjustment, like empathy. You adjust to the frequency of the people that you're healing, and you can heal that way. So could you talk a little bit more about that and how you use that and what happens inside you?
So I have to correct one thing. The sound healer guy is a different Jonathan Goldman.
Right.
First of all.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I call him the other Jonathan Goldman. I think he calls me the other Jonathan.
Yeah, you guys get mixed up all the time with people.
We get mixed up. But what I do, what I agree with you about is each one of those things we name, right? So we name it empathy, we name it compassion, we name it sympathy, we name it whatever, has a particular vibration, has a particular sub-vibration, right? If we are filled with vibration, each one of those qualities is a little bit different. And so we name it because of the way it feels. So compassion has a creates in us a particular feeling, a particular point of view, right? I'm fine with everything. I'm holding the space for everything. I'm present, but I'm not, I don't have an agenda. I'm not trying to make anything happen. I'm allowing everything to happen. So that's the feeling is. And then so we can talk about it, we call it compassion.
Very good. Karen's with us. Go ahead. I'll let you finish up.
Go ahead.
Karen's with us in Vancouver, Washington. Hey, Karen, go ahead.
Hi, George. I'm a longtime listener since Art Bell and also you.
Thank you.
And what my question is the ligaments behind my knees are really tight that I can't stand straight. I have been going to physical therapy, and boy, that hurts when you're trying to stretch those ligaments out. And then also, I was getting up out of my wheelchair to get an x-ray, and I hit my head really hard on the x-ray machine.
Ouch.
And there on the each side of my skull, the bones have protruded out, and I had an x-ray of my skull, and they said everything was normal, but to me, it's not normal.
What do you think about that, Jonathan?
Look, I don't want to do a diagnosis, but I do want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you have any particular fears? Have you had fear? Is fear something that you've had in your life?
Well, the only fear that I have now is like I can walk some, and I can walk with the walker, but I'm scared of falling and breaking something.
Yeah.
But
that's a very reasonable fear. But other than that, not really.
No, not that I can think of.
Okay.
Why is that important, John?
Well, knees sometimes have to do with fear. Also, knees have to do with a difficulty in what we call grounding, in really, really connecting your energy to the earth, appreciating what we call your incarnation, appreciating your being alive and everything you've learned, even though it's been difficult, even though it's been hard and it's involved some pain. Everybody on earth has to go through some pain. So connecting yourself to the earth, if you can, I know you're in a wheelchair, but if you can go outside and find a place, it's winter time, I know where you are now, but when it gets...
it's cold, yeah.
Go outside when it gets to be springtime, and as much as you can, touch the earth, appreciate the earth, and bring that energy into your body.
Is she a candidate for acupuncture?
She's a candidate for acupuncture. She's also a candidate for... the energy work, which can help her pull this, her what's called her first chakra, connect her to the earth.
Do you take emails, John?
Yeah, we can we through essentiallight.org.
Okay, his email website, Karen, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. So if you get to a computer, send him a little bit more information, and you two can hook up and. You could send that energy far and far away. It is that wireless matrix, isn't it?
It is. No, I have clients all over the world.
Next up, let's go to Mayette in New York. Hello, Mayette.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. What an excellent program. Jonathan, I love the title of your book, and really appreciate your work and the, I guess I would say, intuitive, holistic balance. I'd also like to briefly say to Paul that he should research oil of oregano on a light on the oil, because it might sting a bit in terms of a poultice on his legs and internally. I think that might be very helpful. But I have a three-part, and I'll listen over the air. First, I'd like to know if you're familiar with ibogaine, which is a West African herb similar to ayahuasca in that it helps people deal with stuck problems, addictions, they connect to the ancestors, etc. The second part, if you want to share any of your thoughts on COVID. And the last part, and the main part, is you might be a good person to inspire the coming generations or the younger generations to get us away from the chemical approach in terms of Dr. Royal Raymond Rice, his microscope, they could see fluorescence, all the viruses and bacteria, and his frequency machine. And also, we need a team working on Tesla's argon machine and work. And if you have my questions and concerns, I'll listen over the air. Thank you so much, George, for this program.
You're welcome. Time permitting, of course, you want to talk a little bit about COVID real quick?
First thing, yes, I know about ibogaine. It's a very powerful and incredible treatment. I'll say I'm gonna link the two things she said. It's a long conversation about COVID, but basically, here's what I would say: humans, we are disconnected and destructive of nature, and as a species, we are destroyers and exploiters rather than participants, and that distance, that separation from nature is what makes us so vulnerable to things like viruses.
There's no question about that.
Right.
So sure.
Of course, there's lots of things to say about it, but because of time, that's what I would say. We are being shown in our bodies how we have distanced ourselves from nature, and nature is like, oh yeah,
it's fighting back. Jonathan, thank you for being on the program. Good luck. Keep in touch. And you're right, a lot of people confuse you with the other Jonathan Goldman who deals with sound healing. That's somebody else, and we really appreciate it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Michael Cosio, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.